St. John likes to tell long stories. Last week we had the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. And this week, this gospel story, the man born blind. And next week, the story of Lazarus. All of them kind of long. But anyway, they kind of trying to get a message across to us. And the message last week was essentially that our Lord is calling this woman to faith. And she finally accepted and believed in him and brought others to him who could also hear his message. So the story today is a similar story. It's about the continuing conversion that is required. You know, in the scriptures many times, especially in the Gospel of John, darkness and sin are pretty much related. So when John uses the story, the image of the man born blind, it's a story of how he comes from darkness and sees the light. But how that first step always comes from the Lord, that he's the one who makes the invitation. He is the one who calls, who makes the first overture to invite us to become one with him. So he does that. He goes through that process, and that happens really in the life of all of us. But it doesn't happen just one time. It initially starts with our baptism, that Christ is the one who calls us to share in this new life which he has prepared for us, which is not a life of darkness, but it is supposed to be a life of light, because Christ is the light. He is the light of the world. And so share in that light. But you know, being like we are, human beings, we kind of like to get stuck periodically. The season of Lent really is meant for us to kind of get unstuck. It's a time for us to say, to just realize the gifts that we have received and to make the changes in our lives so that we can more fully live that life that Christ has called us to. That we can, to our families, light to our communities, light to our world, as Christ calls every one of us to be. Well, we kind of go along and we like to get stuck in the darkness, and we're frequently like the Pharisees in the story. You know, this is what I was taught when I was 2 years old, and nobody in the world is going to tell me anything different. And how often that happens in the Christian life. We hear some. I remember years ago, some of you remember this too, when Latin was the only language that was considered sacred enough to celebrate the Eucharist. But it's like we made that a sacred cow, really. Because we said it was always that way. Well, it wasn't always that way. The people in the early Christian times spoke Greek, and they spoke Aramaic, they spoke other languages, which were the languages of the people. So the Latin came along, and it came along at a right time, I guess, to help unify the various rites of the church and kind of give them something common to work with. So when the language was changed some 50 years ago, some people really had a struggle with that, because we were taught that this is the way it is and nothing can ever change. Sometimes in our lives we do that. Say, like the season of Lent, we are supposed to search out the darkness that is there. We have enough light, and it's always the invitation of Christ to see ourselves as we really are. Not as we think we are, but as we really are. And so if we really take the time during Lent and use it seriously as a time of growth and of enlightenment, we can find a lot of stuff that we do and that we hang on to, and, well, you know, this 40 days will be over pretty soon. We can go back to our routines. So it is that, say that there may be faults in my life, very, very difficult to live with. I may be overly demanding of my spouse. I may be over demanding of my children. I may be really unloving toward them. I may be actually mean to them at times. And we kind of say to ourselves, well, that's just the way I am. It's really a cop-out. You know, we excuse ourselves for being what we are because we don't want to make the effort to make a change. So we know change is difficult. It's always painful because it means that I have to be open enough to see what is ahead, but I have to be willing to let go of what is behind. And we're not always willing to do that. So I have my buddies that I hang with, and maybe every Friday night and all day Saturday, I spend my time with them and totally neglect anybody else I might be responsible for. But I have no qualms about that because I've always done that, so that I can go blow my paycheck out drinking and maybe gambling or whatever, go in the horse races or whatever it may be with my buddies. Maybe spend the whole day playing golf or watching football games or going out fishing, whatever it may be, and no concern about my responsibilities. And I justify that by saying, well, I've always done that. My wife knew I was going to do that. My husband knew I was going to do that. That's the way the kids grew up. They know that. And we never think that maybe we really are depriving them of something of you that they have a right to as a member of the household, as a member of the family, as a parent, as a brother or sister. Or we can take the example, say, like prejudice. I've heard this more than one time. Well, that's the way we grew up. We grew up in a community that was all this way or all that way. We didn't have mixed communities, so we didn't have to try to deal with that. And so that's the way I grew up. It's like you never learned another thing in the last 50 years. And it's because I don't want to change. That maybe I just have a mistrust, a dislike, a fear, maybe whatever it is, of people from other countries, of other races, languages, and so I carry that prejudice in my heart, and somehow justify it by saying, that's the way I've always been, that's the way it used to be. When our Lord says, you know, this is your brother and this is your sister. Someday, we're all going to share eternity together. How are you going to deal with that then? So it's things like that in our lives. Or say that people go to church every day, every weekend, and they fulfill their ordinary commitments, but there's no willingness to change attitudes in my life. That somehow or another, what I have been all of these years before, I think is perfectly all right, and I don't accept the light. I don't accept the invitation. It's like I'm afraid to grow, that I might become somebody that is different and maybe a lot better, but I kind of like what I'm hanging on to. So the season of Lent is a time where Christ is trying to throw us his light in superabundant ways to try to get our attention, to say, there is a better way. You can do better than that. You can be better than that. You can change a lot of things if you are willing to change yourself, to accept the darkness that you see in your life, accept the sin that is in life, and say, I know Christ has called me to be more than that. And now, he can't do it all by himself. God does not force us against our will. He said, you have to embrace this. You have to be willing to accept what I am offering to you. You have to be willing to be light and get out of the darkness of your life, which will really bring you more peace and more joy, and probably bring a great deal more joy to those around you. So the story, it's a long story. Mine was just about as long. But it's something that we need to think about. You know, pretty soon we'll be at the end of Lent celebrating the Easter celebration. And we can look back at the last 40 days and say, did I accomplish anything at all? Did I cooperate with the grace of God to change what is dark in my life so that it is light, where it is life and light, where there's joy and peace, darkness that sometimes stays there, unless we are willing to move it and change it. Christ constantly is the one who calls. He is the one who sends the light. He has given it to all of us through our baptism, but it doesn't end with the celebration of the sacrament. It is a lifelong effort where he is trying to reach out to us, to enlighten us, to call us to something better. And if we do that during the season of Lent, then they mean a great deal more, because we do have a new life to celebrate, not only of the risen Christ, but of a new life of light and life of Christ within us. So, the man born blind, a long story. Look at your own story, your own life. There's still time.